joins us. Where are you headed this weekend?
By the way, I just passed you on the highway, Mark.
Should have come inside and said hello. We'd have given you some free lunch.
I wasn't in a hurry. I would have stopped in and hung out for a little bit.
Good. What game are you going to?
So I'm going to Morgantown, West Virginia this weekend. Working on this this piece that's sort of not related to the actual game itself, but I will be there for the game to see your Kansas State Wildcats and see if they can turn things around and make the Big 12 championship game as you so confidently predicted before the season.
Yeah, I'm not so confidently predicting that anymore. They are a 16-point underdog in this game. That's not
wow.
much respect for K-State. This game has been close, very close the last 3 years, 4 years, I think.
It does feel like the kind of game that Kansas State could give West Virginia problems, and more so because the Mountaineers are coming off an off week, and they just always struggle with Kansas State. I mean, there have been a lot of times where West Virginia has been favored in this game, and it ends up being really close, or Kansas State pulls the upset. So if I were a betting man, and this could be a preview of the picks Friday, I would lean toward the Kansas State side of the equation.
That's a lot of points. What's been their biggest issue so far this season? They haven't been able to have a whole lot of success on offense.
Yeah, they can't. They don't really have any dynamic playmakers at receiver. I think their offensive line has been a little bit underwhelming. Particularly protecting the quarterback, and Skylar Thompson played fairly well against UTSA, but they've just been way worse at quarterback than they thought they were going to be before the season. I mean, they thought they had two really good players there based on the way that they played last year. But so far, neither has been very consistent. And, Delton can run, but he can't throw. And Skylar hasn't really been able to run the ball very well outside last week. And he's the passing quarterback, but they don't have anybody to really throw to. So they just haven't really found any kind of identity offensively, and they've been banged up on the defensive side. So they're going to be missing a starter safety this weekend. A bad recipe when you're going up against maybe the best passing quarterback in the country.
Austin this week, Texas and TCU. Texas opens up a 2.5-point underdog, which I think seems like a pretty low number to me in this game. How do you break down the quarterbacks in this game? Sean Robinson has not done enough for me to be overly impressed with him so far this season.
Yeah, I heard you and Craig talking earlier, and Matt. So you're a little bit more skeptical of Robinson, and they think clearly he's the better player than Ellinger, right? That's the way I heard it.
I think he's the better player of the two, but I don't think it's by a big margin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, Robinson upside is certainly dwarfs what Ellinger could become, later on in his career at Texas. I thought he acquitted himself pretty well despite the mistakes against Ohio State. I love the fact that, he can do a lot of different things, running or throwing. But I would say that the quarterback edge is probably a wash. I wouldn't give either side a great advantage in that equation. Ellinger more experienced, Robinson a little bit more dynamic. A lot of questions about both at this point.
Do you expect that game to be competitive?
I do. Don't you?
I think so. I think that Texas is, last week their rush defense against USC stood out. I thought that was impressive. But turnovers, man, are so important for both of these teams. And I think both teams have the propensity to turn it over.
I lean toward TCU in this game, but people, probably because they were watching Ohio State TCU, which was the number one watched game of the year so far, I don't know if people realize, like Texas was boat racing USC, a ranked USC team that I didn't think was very good. But, they did beat them pretty convincingly. So I think Texas has quietly got a little bit of confidence going into this game. It's in Austin. On the other hand, TCU has completely dominated the series since joining the Big 12. So I think the speed that TCU is going to bring to the table offensively is probably going to be the difference, with Turpin and Darius Anderson and those guys. But I would not be stunned if this was, if this game came down to the final drive.
Kansas, 12 turnovers the last 2 weeks. The defense is making some things happen. And, I don't know a whole lot about Puka, Williams, their running back, the true freshman, who is averaging 9 yards a carry in the last 2 weeks. But do you think they can they win at Baylor? What was Baylor's main problem last week against Duke?
Oh boy, they had a lot of main problems. You know, they're still switching quarterbacks, which is weird. You know, they had the grad transfer McClendon from NC, or not the transfer from NC State McClendon, and then obviously Charlie Brewer, who we saw a little bit of last year. You know, for whatever reason, they haven't decided on a guy, and I think they've lost a ton of rhythm offensively as a result of that. They're kind of all over the place.
Right.
You know, at one point they had to put Jalen Hurd at tailback just to try to get something going. The offensive line has been banged up. And defensively, they haven't found enough of the guys that they used to have. They just don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. So, they've got a lot of problems. There is some athleticism, particularly at the skill positions on both sides of the ball, but they have not been cohesive in any way, shape, or form this year.
So is this legit from Kansas? I mean, I know their competition level has been very low with Rutgers and Central Michigan, but come on, man, 12 turnovers in 2 weeks, that's pretty impressive.
Doesn't seem sustainable, though, either, right?
No, it does not, no.
I mean, I sort of am a believer in Kansas being the team that we did not see in Nichols because of the guy you laid out, Puka Williams. He's averaging 8.9 yards per carry. He's been a home run threat out of that backfield. It's just given them some playmaking that they did not have, haven't had really since, you know, I don't know. You got to go all the way back to, you know, the Todd Reesing, you know, those years, late in the 2000s, 2008, 2009. So his ability to break big plays has kind of loosened a little bit of the pressure on the quarterback situation. And, you know, they always had good players. Kansas has always had good players defensively. I mean, Daniel Wise is maybe one of the best two or three defensive tackles in the Big 12.
Joe Dineen
at linebacker is fantastic. I mean, they've got, Mike Wise, they've got pretty good players defensively. And now that they're doing at least something on offense, I think has galvanized the entire team. Because even if you're a good defense, if you're having to be out there every time, your offense is three and out, you're back out there, three and out, back out there, interception, you're back out there. I mean, I think that weighs on a defense after a while. And because the offense has shown a little bit, has been a little bit dynamic, I think that has really encouraged the defense to play at a higher level. So, at the level that it could for Kansas, it's kind of coming together. And, you know, I think they got a great chance to beat Baylor.
Well, okay, speaking of Baylor, there was pretty high expectations for Baylor this season. The win-loss total in Vegas was set for 6, which was really
right.
Ambitious. Are they making progress?
Doesn't appear so. I mean, they had a couple of wins to start the season. I think Duke was a really good barometer game for them. I thought that they would win. I think Dusty thought that they would win. And you know, you talk to people around the Big 12 and they're like, hey, Baylor, you know, they've got, you know, they've got speed at receiver. Charlie Brewer really came on and, They have not been the team that I think a lot of us thought that they would become, and it's hard to see it all of a sudden clicking for them in week four when it so didn't in week three. I mean, they got completely obliterated by Duke, okay? Duke's a nice team, but they got obliterated by Duke and a Duke team that didn't have its starting quarterback. I think that's a really bad sign for Baylor the rest of the year.
Well, I know that Matt Rhule flirted with some NFL jobs in the offseason, and I understand that the NFL might be tempting to him, having played there in the NFL and coached in the NFL. But if he decides to abandon ship early on, that just tells me that I think that, you know, Baylor after Art Briles and after Wild Wild West, if anything goes on campus, is probably headed back towards the cellar of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that they have done pretty well in recruiting. You know, they've not had bottom of the barrel recruiting classes since Rhule has been there. He's actually impressed. You know, they've been somewhere in the 30s, kind of right there with, you know, Oklahoma State. And so they've got good players on campus. They don't have enough of them. They've got quarterback problems. And, you know, they're just not imposing on the lines. I mean, Baylor back when, you know, had one of the best offensive lines in the country, and then they had guys like Andrew Billings at defensive tackle. I mean, I don't know that they have the kind of guys that would start, you know, at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Texas or wherever, TCU along the lines. And that's a big problem for them moving forward, and especially this season, you know, when they're kind of inexperienced at quarterback and really haven't found any kind of identity offensively.
Oklahoma State, will we know a little bit more about their defense this week? Because I was really impressed with what they did to the Boise State running game. Now, this week
super
it's going to
impressive.
Be throw a palooza against Texas Tech. But I still think that they're going to be able to get some pressure on the Tech offense with those athletes they've got off the edge.
Well, I mean, people are going to be down on them, I'm sure, when they give up points and yards in this game. I mean, that happens when you play Texas Tech. You're just going to give up. You're going to give up some points. You're going to give up some yards. You know, the thing I'm going to be looking to see, Ed Oliver, Houston, they could not get any pressure on Bowman in that game. You know, he was able to sit back there and take his time and make all the throws. And that's why he had such an unbelievable stat line. Can Brailford, Ken Bundage, you know, Ken Owens and those guys, can they get after Bowman in this game? And I think if they get some pressure, then I think that they've got a terrific chance to win this game going away. But if Bowman's able to stand back there and make throws, then I think it's going to be your typical, you know, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech 40-point shootout where maybe the last team with the ball wins the game. I mean, I think Oklahoma State is decidedly better than Texas Tech and in areas they maybe haven't been before, particularly the defensive line and, across the defense. But if they can't get pressure on the quarterback, they can't make him feel uncomfortable. You know, Kingsbury will have a good plan offensively that it will allow them to move the ball.
Oh, well, she's won 8 in a row in this series, I think.
They've dominated Texas Tech, going back to the 66-6, you know, the Route 66 game in Lubbock with Brandon Whedon. So they have, early on in the Big 12, Oklahoma State always really had a hard time with Texas Tech. But since Leach has left, it has been all Cowboys in this series. And, you know, it would be impressive, I think, if they locked up Texas Tech a little bit, you know, won the game something like, I don't know, 45-24, something like that, would be a tremendous sign for the capability for this defense. I mean, I think this has a chance to be the best defense that Mike Gundy has had. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that's right. I mean, the year they went to the Fiesta Bowl, that was a pretty underrated defense, I thought. Some good players on that team.
Yeah, that defense forced a lot of turnovers. I mean, that team was unbelievable at forcing turnovers. You know, they averaged like 3 a game. But I think even if this defense doesn't force turnovers, it can still be pretty effective. So I like what I saw against Boise State, a pretty good Boise State team that had a veteran offense with a really experienced quarterback, and they dismantled them a little bit. So this is another test. I think this might be their second toughest game, before Bedlam, November 10th. Before Texas, yeah.
At K-State, tougher?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, and you got Iowa State and Stillwater. One of those three would probably be the toughest before Texas. But I think at Kansas State is probably their toughest remaining game before Bedlam. What do you think? Just because it's on the road.
Yeah, no, they've had a hard time with Kansas State in the past.
They have, yeah. And you got to think that Snyder, his team will be playing better in late October. They always seem to play better in November, late October, than they do in September or September, early October. So I think that could be a pretty tough game for them in a couple weeks, a game they might have to grind out like they have in the past. But I think it is in play for Oklahoma State to be a 9-0 team going to Bedlam. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen. I'm not saying it's likely. But it is in play in a way that I didn't think it was before the season. And if they do get to that point, that would be saying a lot, considering this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And would say a lot about where this program is, that in a rebuilding year, you know, they would have a chance to get to 9-0.
I don't.
I thought that was a huge win for them, handling Boise the way they did.
Dude, I think the program is clearly at a pretty high level. It's a top 25 program, or maybe even better than that. I mean, they've been too consistent of winners. I think that it's even better in a year where there aren't expectations. Like, it just feels to me that Mike Gundy is more comfortable coaching a team when not much is expected of them, and he has more of a kind of a quiet confidence. And anything like last season, they play tight. Right?
I mean, yeah, they did play tight.
Got off to really bad starts at games at home. I mean, there's no reason that you shouldn't have won those games that they had in Stillwater last year with the kind of offense that they had. But I thought that this season seems like it's completely different than that. The vibe is just is entirely different from Mike Gundy.
This season always kind of reminded me of 2012 for them. You know, they lost all the guys from the Big 12 title team. And, you know, it kind of felt like, okay, they're probably going to go something like 5-7. And, they were very competitive. I remember being in Norman for that Bedlam game that went to overtime, that Oklahoma had to really fight to come back and win. I thought this would kind of be like that team. This team is going to be better than that team. I think this team has clearly shown that they just have more athletes across the board than that team did. And, you know, we'll see with Cornelius. I thought he was pretty solid against Boise State. And if they play good defense and – you know, they can run the ball a little bit. All he has to be is solid. He doesn't have to be spectacular for them to win. I think that he's going to be their guy clearly going forward. And, you know, he wasn't out of his mind against Boise, but I thought he played pretty well and definitely well enough for them to win that game.
Are you going to try to sneak your picks in here at the last second today, or you want to wait till Friday? What was up with that? It did not help you in the least to make those picks on Wednesday. I think you need to take a little bit more time.
So I had a conflict on Friday, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make my normal segment. And then on top of that, I wanted to pick the Boston College game, which was on a Thursday. And what I should have done in hindsight was take the BC game and then come back and figure out a way to make my picks, you know, on Friday. Ended up working out on Friday, but yeah, it was a little bit you guys were definitely not ready for that. And it definitely did not work for me. So we're going to go back to the normal standard practice here.
My feelings were kind of hurt because I look at, you know, Friday, usually Dusty isn't here, and I look at that as kind of it's time for you and I to spend some quality time together.
Yeah.
And you just, I don't know, man.
I jilted you, man. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm very vulnerable. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll spend some quality time on Friday. Okay.
Before you go, what's the latest that you're working on? What's the next big story? Can you reveal?
What am I working on? I've got a couple things. I have kind of an interesting story Monday. Let's just say it's a retrospective on a movie, a football movie. And if you're between the ages of 34 and 45 today, it might have been a movie that you were obsessed with if you played, like, high school football or college football or whatever.
Oh, okay. We've talked about this. I will not spill the beans, but I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty good. Okay. When you go to West Virginia.
Were you familiar with the movie, by the way?
Yeah, no, we talked about it. Remember, we were watching soccer. You told me about that.
Yeah, sounds good. That's coming out, I think, like Monday or Tuesday. It's in. I finally got it all done, and hopefully it turns it out.
Okay, when you get to Morgantown, I want you to find the place where they burn the couches, and I want you to tweet from it.
Say that again, Mark, you broke up what?
When you get to Morgantown, I want you to find the place where they burn the couches there. That would be a great story.
Yeah, no, I mean...
If they win the Big 12, it could be a couch burning time again, so I think that's relevant this season.
I'm going to scout it out for sure, and I think the story I'm working on at West Virginia will be something that you would definitely be on board with as well.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Jake. We appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. See ya.
All right. Jake Trier, the Iron Man, ESPN.com.